Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. Before I get to the rest of today's episode, I'd like to give a huge shout-out to my awesome patron, Mr. Big Benz, for supporting me and the MTG in Quarantine channel over on my Patreon account. If you are interested in helping support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. Also, I currently have the drawing for your choice of one of two Innistrad Midnight Hunt Commander decks available after my 100th episode. For more information, check out my Twitter over at twitter.com/mtginquarantine for more information to find out how to enter. So the topic for today's episode is going to be something that we in the Magic the Gathering community talk about an awful lot, and I think finally needs to be broached on this channel in the most positive way that we can, and that is kind of what we've called the discourse, quote-unquote, and of course I'm doing the scare quotes here. You can't see that, but I am. So the discourse, effectively EDH as a format, and how we as players and community members try to discuss the format with other players without insulting each other or trying to give bad vibes to each other. So, in order to be able to talk about this episode, it wouldn't make sense for me to only have just myself talking into a microphone. I think we need to have another outstanding member of the community on to talk about the discourse and trying to remain positive in EDH. In order to do that, I'm going to be bringing on one of my best friends in the entire Magic the Gathering community, Mono White Border. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, MJ. Glad to be back.
Yeah, so again, Peter has been guesting on this show for a lot recently, especially in the White is Good in MTG series with our good friend Coach J-Ro, and soon Charles the Mono White Guy will be joining us as well. So I've had Peter on here quite a few times. He's great. And again, you're still working on that deck diary, aren't you? Would you love to tell the listeners a little bit more about what you work on with your Mono White adventures?
Yeah, so I do a blog post. I kind of just post when and what I want, but the glue that holds it all together is, as you mentioned, that deck diary, which the goal of it being to assemble a deck, a commander deck, that is made up entirely of new printings from 2020, 2021, kind of a symbolic moving away from 2020 is what it started as, and it's just kind of been a fun journey and way to explore the new designs and design space that White's been experiencing of late. So if you want to check that out, it's monowhiteborder.weebly.com is where my blog is, or you can find a link on my Twitter profile as well, which is at monowhiteborder.
All right, sounds good. So Peter, again, like I mentioned at the outset of the show, we as EDH players love to have opinions. You could say that we're very opinionated about this format, where there's technically no right answers and no wrong answers. But unfortunately, whenever there's an open discussion, there is bound to be negativity and some positivity, but a lot of negativity. Obviously, we as people don't always agree on pretty much anything, especially in a format that is so wide open and really undefined as EDH is. And again, we keep seeing these issues crop up from time to time, and this last week especially, I think we experienced a lot more of the typical wave of negativity, I suppose, for, again, people just trying to determine how is the correct way to approach not only building and playing EDH, but also when it comes to trying to work with people to come to some sort of agreement. Or just in a regular conversation, there are a lot of times where people will potentially overstep the bounds of what other people are interested in hearing about. So examples of this could be, why aren't you playing X card in X deck? Or have you thought about using this card? Or frankly, if you really want a good blunt assumption, this card sucks. You know, exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. And unfortunately, in the content community, I think we see a lot of, you know, this card sucks, don't play this card, overplayed, or, you know, versus, hey, it's underplayed, maybe you should find this card. But unfortunately, I feel like negativity kind of feeds the day here, and it seemingly only brings a lot of negative vibes throughout the entire community, because again, while some may find this concept of information helpful, useful to their way of thinking, there's also a subset of the community that finds that kind of offensive. And you and I, we love our kind of janky brews with cards that people have never heard about, or never heard of, never seen, have no clue what they do. And I think this really got us to thinking, how can we as EDH players try to bring a little bit of positivity and change the way we approach this sort of situation versus continuing to try to use definitives? Do you have any thoughts on that? Just, you know, from the outset, from what we've seen in the past here?
Yeah, so the thing to remember about Commander and what makes it so difficult sometimes to talk about Commander is that, one, the format's grown substantially since I started playing back in Return to Ravnica, even since you started playing in War of the Spark, which wasn't that long ago. The format's constantly growing. There's more and more sentiments about it. Social media is not always the best at letting us convey subtle nuances in what we're saying, which is not the fault of the speaker. It's just the nature of social media, and something you have to understand when you're on the platform is sometimes 280 characters on Twitter isn't enough to create a very subtle argument about something, or a very subtle discourse about something. And then Commander itself is both, it's a game, and in the game of Magic, there's going to be cards that are objectively more powerful than other cards. Black Lotus is objectively more powerful than Lotus Petal. That's true. But not everyone plays the game to approach it from I'm running the most objectively powerful card, or I'm trying to run the best cards. There's a lot of different reasons to play the game and approach the game, whether it's designing a deck around art, or designing a deck to play a specific card that you have an emotional attachment to, or designing a deck that is, you know, as good as you can make it. You know, there's a lot of different ways to approach it. So I think that's partially where some of the struggle comes in, is how do we communicate and discuss a game where all of us individually are approaching it from a very unique perspective, from a very unique play group, which creates a very unique meta. No two people have the exact same Commander experience when they are discussing a card or something like that, which is one of the reasons why I personally am trying to make an attempt to approach card analysis from more of a I perspective. So I don't think I'm going to be playing this card because of these reasons. It's very much localized to me, but it's also providing information to whoever I'm around so that they can, you know, oh, he's viewing this card from this perspective. This is his understanding of the card. Do I agree with that understanding? What's my understanding? How am I going to let that understanding affect how I'm viewing the card? Is my position with how I play the game different from his, so that I can adjust, you know, what knowledge he's bringing to what knowledge that I might have? You know, that's just one kind of step that I'm trying to do to try and avoid some of that discourse that can feel very objective about an otherwise subjective topic.
That's really interesting to bring the I aspect into this, because again, this kind of goes with the whole discourse of saying, I have this opinion, it is my own opinion, but doesn't necessarily reflect what you as another individual should think. And again, this is kind of goes back to just any conversation of any topic in all of human history, I suppose, is that people are not always going to agree on things, and EDH is no different. And I think as we started to see in the last, especially in the last couple of years here, is that words, especially on social media, have a lot of power. Words from people who are influencers have a lot of power. And the fact that we as EDH players and community members are still struggling with the concept of objectivity and subjectivity is kind of concerning in some ways, but I think there is definitely room for improvement. Again, we in EDH, we have a social contract. We have Rule Zero for this exact reason, to be able to offer an opportunity for people to try to get the optimal play experience given what decks and what experience they would like to have when they sit down to play for a pod. But again, this bit only gets so far when you're talking about actually playing the game. Unfortunately, and yes, you are right, we do see a lot of this negativity on social media, but I've also actually seen a lot of this negativity also happen in some of my local game stores, unfortunately, is that this happens an awful lot, a lot more than any of us see, just because there's kind of a, I guess, toxic way about my opinion is correct, everyone else is wrong. And that's what we're trying to really try to attack here, is, yes, you have an opinion about certain cards, certain strategy, et cetera, et cetera. It's fine that you have that opinion. I'm not saying it isn't, but again, when we talk about play what you want, I think that's really what we have to get at here, is you're allowed to play what you want, but others don't necessarily have to agree with you on that one. Where, obviously, I keep using the boogeyman of quote-unquote stacks builds, which again covers this whole diaspora of something from Hate Bears all the way up to a complete prison deck that you'd see at the CEDH table. Try and do two different things, unfortunately fall under one umbrella. Some people like to play stacks, some people don't like to play against stacks. Basically, what we're trying to get at here is don't vilify the people who want to play stacks because they're playing the game that they want to be able to. Are they going to be able to play that deck at any table that they sit down at? No. A lot of people don't like playing against stacks, but again, that's what Rule Zero is for. But the real issue comes here when all of a sudden you take your dislike of stacks and then you say someone who plays stacks is a problem. Or, conversely, well, maybe your deck isn't stacksy enough. Have you tried including this, or something like this, or making it worse for your opponents, or just a bevy of whole other things? Again, going out of the have you tried X card, and not in a constructive way, kind of in a pejorative way of why are you too stupid not to figure out that you should be running this objectively better card? I mean, Peter, why aren't you running Black Lotus? Why are you running Lotus Petal? It's terrible, terrible, terrible. And I feel like, unfortunately, we get a lot of that discourse in the community, and you're right, it's very toxic, is that you and I love playing those kinds of decks. We're playing weird cards, and we're doing that for a specific reason, because we enjoy playing that experience. Are our decks optimal? No. But, again, we're getting a sense of enjoyment out of playing these cards, and I've definitely had this conversation with people before, just in person, in the before times, where they're asking me why I haven't included single or certain cards in my decks, and just, well, I either A, didn't know about that card, or B, I'm not interested in throwing that card in there because that's not what the deck wants to do. It's my deck, I have my opinion, and ultimately, I have an opinion about what my deck wants to function, how it wants to function, what cards are in there, and ultimately, it's my decision. I shouldn't let other people allow them to make that decision for me.
Part of it, of what it all comes back to, is voicing your ideas, voicing your opinions, and receiving someone else's ideas and opinions in a way that promotes conversation. Because as soon as you approach it in a way that dissuades conversation or makes someone feel like they're in the wrong, that's when you get that rub. That's when you get that issue. That's when you get that conflict. And if you can approach it in a way that's going to encourage conversation, then you can talk it out. And it's more about exploration, which is what Commander's all about, is, for me at least, is Commander's really about exploring and learning more. That's what I've always enjoyed about Magic, is exploring different stories, exploring different artwork, exploring different cards, exploring different strategies. It's a lot of exploration. And interacting with other people, you can explore new and different ways to enjoy and play the game. But that only happens if you approach these questions from a perspective of, I want to get more information, not a perspective of, I want to see if you're right or if you're wrong. And I think that's sometimes where that issue comes in, is, you know, you see something and instead of being inquisitive about it, or you hear something instead of being inquisitive about it, we have a tendency to want to, you know, shut it down or prove it wrong or something of that nature, which has a tendency to create a more toxic situation in which two people are at odds with each other, which is not always appropriate. And
Sure.
sometimes, you know, maybe it's never appropriate. I don't know for sure. I'm not that much of an expert. I'm not an expert at all. But that's kind of the underlying issue, is just making sure that the way you're approaching things encourages conversation. A great example is if you see someone playing a deck and you have a card suggestion for that deck, you know, a more aggressive or a way that can come off as hostile from my perspective is somebody might say, "Why aren't you playing this card?" Or, "What about this card?" And to me, that comes off as like, I should be playing that card. And a lot of times for me, the answer is, "Well, I don't like that card," or "I prefer the artwork on this card," or it's something very subjective. And so it's better for me, I try and ask people, "Have you considered this card yet?" Or, "Was this card a consideration for you when you built this deck?" And it kind of puts the onus on them to explain their reasoning for why they didn't include the card. And it doesn't ask them to give me an objective reason why this card should be in the deck, but it asks them to, "Hey, let me know a little bit more about your deck. Let me learn why you're playing this card with some sweet artwork over this card that might be a better effect." Why, or for me, a great example is I play Angelic Ascension over Swords to Plowshares in a ton of my decks. "Why are you doing that?" "Well, Angelic Ascension is 25 cents and Sword to Plowshares is like $2, and I'd rather just buy 5 Angelic Ascensions than 1 Swords to Plowshares." So you have the opportunity to learn more about other people's decks, strategies, play styles, if you can approach it from a way that tries to encourage conversation or encourage discourse and not make someone feel kind of backed into a corner, which can happen in a game store, it can happen online, it can happen anywhere. That it may happen.
Yeah. Speaking of that, Peter, give me a thought experiment here. Do you believe that there might be times where even asking that sort of question, even though you're not trying to potentially be offensive, could also be going over the bounds of decency too, that where maybe not asking the question at all may be the best path forward?
Yeah, I would have to imagine that that's totally accurate. I mean, some people probably aren't going to want to really hear suggestions. They might not be in a mindset for it. I know I've been in that situation where I'm not in the mindset to want to hear a suggestion on a deck or want to talk about my deck. And if we as the asker are more open to a person just saying, "Hey, thanks for asking, but or thanks for the suggestion, but I don't really want to discuss that right now," or something like that. I mean, people should have the power to say no to a conversation or a topic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody should have that power. And similarly, sometimes it's just not the right situation, or you're not in the right place to ask those questions or to, you know, to ask that of somebody. It's hard to know. I'm not a great person at reading another person to know that situation perfectly, so it's really helpful when someone can just be upfront with me and tell me that, and it's then back on me to make sure that I receive that in a positive way. It's a real struggle because there's onus on you as the individual at every part of this. There's some onus and responsibility you have to take to address things in a positive way, and there's some onus you have to take in receiving things in a positive way. And there's bad actors at every point in life, and that's just true. And I'm not trying to erase that there are bad actors, but I'm just trying to think from a sense of, just like in Magic, there's variance, there's things that are out of your control, and you just have to focus on controlling what you can control in a game of Magic. It's the same way in life. It's about focusing on what I can control in this situation, and one of the things I'm able to control is my attitude. Even if, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it turns out that somebody was being offensive to me, or maybe I was being, you know, I was being too forward with somebody else, you know, you got to learn from that experience and then move on. So, but as for me, I just have to try and approach it from a space of, what positivity can I bring? What positive change can I bring? And that's where I'm trying to put the onus on myself whenever I'm kind of making a statement on Twitter, whether it's through that hashtag daily EDH or just making a general comment of put the onus on myself to put that message out in such a way that it's going to have a positive impact on people and get a positive response from people rather than getting a negative response. And I'm not 100% good at it. You can't expect anybody to be 100% good at that. You just don't know. And a lot of times you don't know that somebody's going to take something negatively until they've already taken it negatively. And then at that point, you have to kind of think about what can I do? It's just going to happen. It's the nature of human interaction, I guess.
Yeah. And just in my personal experience is that I haven't always been the most receptive to making changes because I'm kind of territorial about how I build my decks. I have my own method. I like building my decks in a certain way that really fits with my creative style. And I know I have in the past definitely taken offense to people asking me why I haven't put a certain card in the deck for whatever reason, whether it's flavor reasons, whether it's cost reasons, whether it just doesn't quite fit what my creative vision, something like that. And I feel like now with COVID, with the way things have changed, that we aren't necessarily playing the game stores like we used to, we're playing online a lot more. How sometimes maybe a good faith conversation could potentially get twisted into what someone sees as being outright hostile towards someone else's card choices versus how they would like to enjoy the game, et cetera, et cetera. And unfortunately, yes, that is definitely a huge part of social media because unfortunately, you know, stop if you heard this before, social media is potentially toxic. But again, I feel like sometimes, yeah, it's best to keep your distance. Sometimes, even if you're not sure, at least in my opinion, I feel like there you can't control, you're right, you can't control what someone else is playing, but you can interact with the cards that are currently in the deck. So instead of being worried about what someone hasn't put in the deck, maybe consider only thinking about the cards that are in the deck for that time. You know, maybe someone's trying out something new and, you know, no matter what you say, it may not influence them at all. And I think that's something as Magic players that we have to stop trying to micromanage so much and just let people really enjoy this game. It's great. We can all do really cool things. So I guess I've never quite understood why we as Magic players love giving unsolicited advice. It's definitely a weird phenomenon that, again, goes in virtually everything else in life. But especially in Magic, we have an opportunity to try to be able to change the narrative on that because, you know, we don't all want unsolicited advice. We like building our decks the way we do. So it's just a little weird how we, with different approaches, we still feel that we need to tell people that a card is overplayed or the card is objectively bad. Because, again, maybe in your opinion it's bad or overplayed, but, you know, I've definitely had my mind shift changed over the last couple of years and from following these sorts of things in the community. And I've really started to feel like, you know, to be honest, when people say a card is overplayed or something like that, that's kind of unsolicited toxicity, honestly. All that matters to me is what I think of a certain card. And if someone tells me it's overplayed, fine, but that's just like your opinion, man. You know, just think about the dude from The Big Lebowski. I mean, that's kind of how I've had to approach this. It's like, this is your opinion. You think the card's overplayed? Fine. But I'm going to go over here and I'm going to play with my quote-unquote overplayed card because I think it's great. So, because I want a different play experience. And I really think that that's something, you know, we just have to sow the seeds of positivity within this community because it is just such a great game. And there's so much room for everyone with every kind of approach to the game. It's just frustrating, honestly, that we always have to go through this conversation about, you know, gatekeeping, about trying to point out who's right and who's wrong, and then, unfortunately, people trying to influence other people based on what they think, and, you know, potentially doing some damage that you don't quite necessarily see, whether that is forcing someone to tear a deck apart because they're embarrassed of a certain card, or they're embarrassed of a certain deck, or, you know, kind of like the reason why I haven't built a Stacks-like or Hate Bears-type deck is I guess I'm kind of afraid, what are people going to think about me putting this deck together? We do have Rule Zero, but again, you know, there is a very vocal group that doesn't like Stacks. And, you know, there's just a lot of aspects that go into this, and unfortunately, there are a lot of bad seeds out there, and it's really unfortunate that we have to have this conversation, but it's necessary that we try to do whatever we can as community members to try to change the narrative however we can to add some positivity back into the conversation.
Mm-hmm. For one, I don't want to act like I've never been the person giving unsolicited advice or being, you know, the negative person on an issue. I'm sure that everyone can relate to the fact that they've, you know, said something in a way that they wish they could address in a different way, or, you know, gave someone some advice and then in retrospect they realize, you know, that person wasn't really looking for my advice. I'm just spouting my opinion. And part of it too is understanding the place you're in and the context in which you're receiving information. You know, if someone, you know, is writing an article, I'm going to that content to hear what their opinion is on, I think this card is the best, you know, if they write an article, I think this card is the best card in the format that you're not playing or something. Like, I'm going and I'm interacting with that content because I want to receive that content. You know, that's kind of a safe and healthy place for them to put such a large opinion. And similarly, if they encourage and you want to interact with that information, a lot of people who write appreciate interaction, positive or negative. I wrote a post about how Sanctifier and Vec was equally as good or possibly better than Duathi Voidwalker. You know, that was a hot take at the time and is probably still a hot take. And I got some interaction where people are like, I don't agree with that. And I invited that interaction because I wrote it in a post and the people were very friendly in their responses. You know, they were like, here is what I think about this and maybe something you didn't consider when you wrote that post, because it was just like a 1,000-word post or something. You know, it was a place where that was safe for people to interact with me and where people were being positive in their interaction despite the fact that they were disagreeing with me. And I kind of had a nice chat with Bradley Rose online about that, about, you know, when do we need to think about how we're addressing things, when do we need to make I statements, and when can we be a little bit more of an authority on the subject, and, you know, kind of drawing that line of when you're on, you know, when I'm listening to somebody's content, I am okay with them feeling like they're authority, because I realize that you're basically saying, I think, and then producing whatever content you're producing, right? So it makes total sense that you wouldn't say, I think every 2 seconds whenever you're producing that content. Mm-hmm. But, you know, somewhere like Twitter, where it's a lot more conversational and people are just stumbling upon other people's stuff and you're not necessarily going and actively seeking that person's Twitter page out specifically, it's good to try and present that information in such a way that you're promoting the most positive interaction you can at that moment.
Yeah, social media is ever changing. I've had to stop myself so many times from wanting to respond to something, you know, in I guess a less than savory way, I suppose, is that we as humans, we are always kind of in that fight or flight response, and we want to always inject our opinion onto other people. It's seemingly natural. It's weird, but that's just kind of a strange learned behavior that we seem to have. And it takes the wherewithal to hold back, to think, hey, maybe someone else has this opinion. Maybe I shouldn't try to go shoot them down. And that's just something where we need to have that honest and open conversation like you had with Bradley, is that we need to make sure that we are taking care of each other as Magic players. We all share this amazing game together, and this we play in the same space. We basically revel at the altar of the 100-card singleton format, and yet we always seem so divided because of that same open-endedness that brought us all here in the first place. No one's telling us we have to play EDH. We could probably quit and be just fine if we wanted to, but we're here for a reason. So why do we always feel the need to have to inject our opinions onto other persons' playstyles? And this is why I've really appreciated the recent discourse on Twitter, especially, where we've started to see more people try to bring the fun back into this format and into the community. And I really appreciate that. we're here again, we are here for a reason. Why we don't focus more on the things we really love about this game really boggles me. It's why I started this channel, honestly, because I didn't want to be another hot take channel where, you know, this card sucks, I'm going to see this other card, well, no one's ever going to play that. Well, maybe other people want to play that card, and when you're telling them that this card is objectively bad because it's not, doesn't fit my exact definition of what a good card is, maybe we're stopping people from finding something completely new. I remember that I have definitely built commander decks that people said were unplayable. And I took that as a personal challenge because I said to myself, you might think it's unplayable. I think it's highly playable, and here's why. So I built the deck, took the challenge, and some of those decks are some of my favorite ones to play to this day. Is that I just love being creative and trying to prove that that deck is very playable. And it proves that there is some room for objectivity in this game, but also we as Magic players need to understand that sometimes our opinions are just not welcome. We don't have to tell someone that they should play X card. Because again, you know, I don't have $50 to drop on a sword of X and Y. Does that mean that I shouldn't be playing my silly, smaller equipments? Does that mean I can't play my cranial plating? Can I not play even short sword or civic saber? You know, some of the things that I have in my cheap equipment decks. Well, is there something objectively wrong to me doing that? Maybe there's a cost implication. Or maybe I don't want to have, you know, the biggest, baddest sword available to me in this deck because it just doesn't feel right. Maybe I want to power my deck down and make sure that I can play with, you know, kind of at a pre-con level. It's what I've done with my five-color Najeela deck that you, Peter, helped me, inspire me to build. Was I wanted to take an objectively powerful commander and tone it down so that I was able to take more measured turns. I created a mini game out of the deck, effectively, to try to be able to pilot it the way that most people would just, you know, not even think twice about throwing in a whole bunch of dual lands and a bunch of crazy extra combat spells and all that, and I'm not doing either. I'm just playing a weird deck that honestly still does some really cool things, but it's all about the intent. Sure, people will probably tell me, hey, why aren't you playing this card? Why are you only playing colorless lands? Because I want to. Because this is the whole point of the deck. This is how I want it to be. I'm going to make some changes, but the fundamental core is there. I want to make it a challenge to play here so that people have a better time and also see we can start a conversation. It's about starting a conversation. That's really what brings me into EDH. And I haven't had any negative responses, honestly, about my Najeela deck. Everyone just seems to love the concept from what I've seen thus far, and I really dig that deck because it does start that conversation. So thank you, Peter. Thank you for sending me down that weird jank vibe. But I digress from that.
Yeah, I mean, and I totally relate to you on the level of just doing the bad thing because people told you it was bad, and you're just like, well, now that just makes me want to do it more. You're talking to the guy who built 7 mono white decks so far and is working on 2 more at this very moment. So, I mean, I totally relate to that, but similarly, you gotta also completely respect people playing the powerful cards they want to play. Some people play Magic because they want to do insane things with awesome pieces of cardboard. You know, some people want to... I can't even think of a powerful thing to do because I'm play such weak things. But some people want to... shoot. What's a powerful thing people do? Some people want to cast Expropriate and then Torment of Hailfire for 30. And that's okay.
Well, I mean, I was going to say, since I have started getting to CEDH, I've seen some of the broken degenerate combos you can do with Demonic Consultation, the Pact, Tainted Pact, Thoracle, Underworld Breach, Rinse, Repeat, tons of powerful things you can do there. And again, we're not trying to vilify anyone for playing that. I'm dipping my toe personally into CDH because I really want to play with powerful cards. I mean, I played which card did I play? I think I played my first Mana Crypt a little while back, and it was so cool just being able to resolve that because it's like, yeah, this is a $100-some card, and I'm playing in a game of Commander. This is so cool. I lost the game, but who cares? I may play Mana Crypt, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, I got to flip some coins, deal some damage to yourself.
Yep. Yeah, it's definitely a situation where we again have to consider what everyone else's likes and dislikes and what people want to see in a game. And again, I know I'm a broken record at this point, but that's what Rule Zero is for. It's to make sure that we have that universal play experience so that we are able to enjoy the game collectively as much as possible at whatever level we're trying to get out of this. Whether that's the pre-con level, the Battlecruiser that you and I really enjoy, whether that's more optimized decks as you're going to see on some of the larger content channels, or whether that is some of the great folks who play CEDH in our community who are doing amazing things that completely boggle my mind. I mean, I open primers on their deck database, and I just find myself completely boggled by just how insanely complicated these combos are, and yet they are able to pull them off like no one's business. It's insane, but so impressive at the same time.
And I like what you bring up about Rule Zero. Like, that is, Rule Zero is literally the foundation upon which this entire format sits. If Rule Zero doesn't exist, if you take away all forms of communication from every Magic player on the universe and they just have to play together, Commander probably can't function. So that's why with Discourse, it's really, Commander is about discussion. The foundation of Commander is the Rule Zero discussion. You need to have those discussions. It's about trying to have those discussions in a positive way and bringing a positive attitude and aspect to those discussions as best I can, at least, and as best you can, as best everyone can. That's the hope, right? Is that we can just try and collectively bring a positive outlook to those Rule Zero discussions that can then yield positive outcomes.
Okay,
And
yes.
discussions in general, of course, not just Rule Zero.
So before we wrap up the episode here, Peter, I want to give you another thought experiment. I think that we are going in a slightly better direction than we were a year ago, hopefully within the community. Hopefully we're starting to see some of the bits of improvement, I suppose, for lack of a better term, of demonstrating how this is such an open format and people should be allowed to play what they want to. I guess forecasting going further in the future here in the next couple of years, hopefully as more in-store play starts to return, as we start getting conventions and big events again, how do you see this wave of positivity that we're trying to pitch here going? Do you feel like this is going to be a relatively easy fix, or do you think that it's going to be a very difficult change in process? I mean, again, this could be a complete fundamental shift for a lot of people who, have never really thought about, trying to provide unsolicited advice, for instance, or have never really thought about how the words that they say to another player could be very offensive, or conversely, may not be very offensive. I guess my very convoluted question is this: how do you see us being able to take this conversation further into the future?
Yeah, I don't know if there is a fix per se because of just the nature of human interaction. Like I said before, I'm going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. It's just what happens. You're going to interact with people who are just not positive. You're going to interact with people who there's nothing you can do, they're not positive. It's just going to be a negative experience. You can, as I said before, you can only control yourself. You can't control other people. So I think, for me at least, that's what my constant goal and reminding myself is just like, control me, learn and improve myself as best I can through, other people, learning from experiences with other people taking the time to teach me and make me a better person, and then trying to improve myself as best I can. And yeah, it's really all you can do is try and do the best you can do, and then if everyone's doing that, then that should yield a positive outcome. And not everyone's going to do it, but there's always going to be negative people, and unfortunately, I just don't think there's a way to fix that.
Yeah, that's fair. It's again, it's human interaction. It's how we always try to other others and use ourselves, kind of put ourselves on a pedestal that we have a better opinion than others. And Right. It's very difficult. This is kind of the fundamentals of sociology and psychology. So we're kind of dealing. We are dealing with very learned behavior. And we're trying to bring kind of an adaptive new behavior to that, and it's very difficult. You're right. So again, we have to just try to be strong in this and just try to be more positive. And so the ultimate takeaway from this episode, I think, is that instead of jumping to the usual, this card is overplayed, don't play that card, don't play that format, don't play that kind of deck, maybe before you say something like that, maybe ask yourself, does the person who I'm asking this of, are they receptive of my thoughts? How am I asking that question? And potentially, if either of those are a no, I think maybe it's time that we start to realize that maybe we're giving unsolicited advice, and it'd be best if we just worried about what we could worry about, which is playing the game or whatever discussion you're having, and not necessarily interjecting what could be seen as very hurtful or damaging to someone if, again, if they're not in the right frame of mind, or especially if they're just like me and they just want to play the cards that they want to play just because they're fun, is that we need to respect each other's boundaries and make sure that we are the best Magic player that we can be, because, again, we're in such a great format. There's room for everyone. There really shouldn't be negativity in this community. I just don't get it, Peter. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's just tough. And I mean, one thing I just took away from that was that for my own self, is the best thing I can probably do is asking myself those questions, for sure, but I can also ask those questions to the other person. Hey, do you have a moment? Do you want to talk about your deck? I have some ideas that I'm willing to share, but I don't have to. Or are you open to suggestions? Are you looking for feedback? Things like that, you know, are totally fair. Shout out to Bradley again. Beacon of Creation Discord, you know, the rule of thumb is only give positive feedback unless somebody asks for critical feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just promotes, you know, people saying, here's the things I like about your card. These are the good things, you know. Keep hitting those notes. And then if you're looking for critical feedback, you can open up that discussion and get some really good feedback. I mean, honestly, that's the exemplary way. That Beacon of Creation Discord for me is the exemplary way to run a community of just a lot of positive people giving a lot of positive feedback that is constructive. Like, it's not just blind positivity everywhere. It's really constructive positivity. You know, it's building something.
Yeah, and again, you hit on something I was about to bring up here, was that sometimes I think the best way to, or the best time to be giving feedback is when the person you're talking to is open and asks for feedback. I know when I was a new player, I would sometimes ask, you know, what do you think of the deck? I'm just using this as a barometer to see what other people think of the deck, to know that, hey, am I going in the right direction? If they hate it, maybe I need to rethink what I'm doing. Or if they really like the deck, maybe double down on whatever it is that I liked about it and that they thought was really cool about it, and just go with that. I did receive a lot of positivity, again, in the before times about some of my decks, because they were just weird enough that people really enjoyed playing against them. And I was able to utilize that and really craft it into my own deck building style that you will hear me talk about ad nauseum. And again, actually, that's another card I haven't played before. I'm going to have to think about that one. But anyway, that I talk about here on the podcast is that sometimes the best thing to do if you're looking for feedback is to just ask your fellow players after a game, how did my deck do? What do you think of this card? Do you think if there's any suggestions here? And if you're on the other side of the conversation, again, just as I said a moment ago, sometimes just ask yourself whether this is a really good time to interject your personal opinions, especially during the middle of a game, because you never quite know what unintended consequences there might be if the person you're talking to potentially takes that as offensive or harmful in any way. At that point, your opinion doesn't come out as a constructive bit of criticism or just a comment. It starts becoming kind of a condemnation of the way that they're playing or the card they're playing, and we have to be very careful about that. All right. So that was a really good conversation, Peter, that we had about positivity in Commander. And again, this is something that we're never really going to be able to shake. Obviously, since this is human nature, we're going to have to deal with this for a long time. But I think that with more community members like us starting to talk about this more, hopefully we'll start be able to get some traction going forward so that as we do start getting back into more in-store play, hopefully we will be able to use this as a springboard to try to get more people to talk positively about others and others' card choices in and then outside of games as well. This is a very interesting conversation. I was really glad to have with you. It's always been an honor to have you on the podcast, and thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you, MJ. I'm not an expert, but it was nice to kind of go through my own thoughts and own experiences and get to flesh those out a little bit more.
Yeah, for sure. So again, before we end the show, where can people find your deck diary again?
Oh, yeah. If you want to find everything, if you just want to listen to me, go to @monowhiteboarder on Twitter. And from there, you can find a link to my blog if you really want to listen to me. And that's monowhiteboarder.weebly.com.
All right. And if you want to hear any of the previous podcasts on the MTG in Quarantine podcast, you can find the entire back catalog on the usual podcast outlets. That's Google, Apple, Spotify, Player FM, MTG Cast, CastBox, and many, many other podcast outlets. I'm also available on Twitter at twitter.com/MTGInQuarantine. If you see the really happy-looking Ulamog with a pair of headphones, you found the right place. I'd also like to use this time to give another huge shout out to my awesome patron, Mr. Big Benz, for supporting me over on Patreon. If you want to help me make more awesome content like this and make a great show, go on over to patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine for more information. Also, since I just hit my 100th episode last week of the podcast, I am currently doing a giveaway for your choice of one of two Innistrad Midnight Hunt Commander decks. If you want to find out how you can enter, you can go on over to my profile at twitter.com/MTGInQuarantine, find the post for more information. And I would like to thank you very much for listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.